Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you want interesting and entertaining debate on the Premier League and other English leagues, but from a show that doesn't take itself too seriously, then check out The Whistleblowers. It's a weekly football podcast hosted by me. I used to play football, Martin Gritton, stand-up Mark Smith when he can, and music manager Gareth Dobson, who always has plenty of good chat, being a Spurs fan. We basically get football writers in to have a chat as well, and we talk about the stories that matter in English football, whether it's on the pitch or off it. It's free to listen to iTunes, Acast, Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Or you can download the Whistleblowers app. Follow us on Twitter at Football Podcast. Cheers.
Hello and welcome to the Manchester United Redcast. My name is Aaron Paul. Good to have you with us. Thanks for choosing us this week. That's a bit of a formal broadcasting line I like to use. Thanks for choosing us. Thanks for choosing the United Redcast by Mike Lee Productions. Is it Playback Media? By Playback Media. I'm glad you're alive. I'm glad, you know, you've all sort of woken up after the fucking bore draw. I bombed across the M25 for that. God knows what. God help me if I get a speeding ticket. But yeah, we'll be looking back at that shit show of a 0-0. Demo's bore. That was so bad. That was so bad. We'll be looking back at that 0-0. Talking Donny van der Beek after Ajax Amsterdam. Venlo, 13-0. Is Donny better off? Well, would he have been better off staying at home, basically, than playing for us? Elsewhere, we're going to look at the European Super League and, of course, talking tomorrow night where we take on RB Leipzig in the European Champions League in our second group game. It's coming thick and fast. Thick and fast again is Mr. Andrew Mann. We had a little chicken shop bet on Saturday night. I hope we're going to carry this chicken shop bet on like throughout games this season. It's quite exciting. Yeah. But what did you go for, Drew? Hello, by the way. What did you pitch for on the bet?
Hello, my brother from another.
Hello, mate.
I went for 3-1. We'd get battered.
Yeah, I went for something better, didn't I?
Yeah, I think you were about 2-1.
I can't remember what I went for. Oh, no, it was you went Mata to win it. It was on the goal scorer. You went Mata to win it. I went Cavani to win it. And if you won, I think I was baking you a tray of brownies. And if I won, you were buying me a tasty chicken meal, a succulent chicken meal from the Chick King, Tottenham's best chicken shop. By the way, for everyone who's just listened to what Drew said there about being my brother, if by chance we did share the same mother, there'd have to be some serious genetic, like, good genes there, because the gap between our birthing times would be bloody hell, man. There'd be able to fit a lot through there, let's just say that. It wouldn't be good. Put it this way, when I was 18, my mum would probably be like 104 or something like that. So,
oi, easy with the stick.
Dan Riley, you're back, mate. You're back once again for the Renegade Master.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm looking forward to
to chewing this United bone this week.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Why don't City fuck off home? And ladies and gentlemen across the world, I don't know the rest of it. Let's get ready to rumble. The man is back himself. Paul Tonkinson, how long has it been since you've been on a red cast, pal?
It's been an awful long time, hasn't it? It's probably been about three, four years. It's been a long time. Yeah, it's been pre-pandemic, pre-Brexit, pre-Trump, pre-Falklands War, pre-Second World War. It's been an indefinite period, but it's nice to be back. It's good to be back.
Basically, last time you were on the red cast, the world was normal, but United was still shit.
Yeah, United was still rubbish. I think it was early Van Gaal or late Moyes. It was pretty bad. I think
Marcos Rojo was still in favour.
Yes. Yeah. When we were getting excited about Di Maria.
Mm.
Hoping that Van der Beek isn't the next Di Maria, isn't it? I suppose hoping that he's not the
Donny next. Van der Beek. Thank you, Paul Tonkinson. Good. Does anyone ever call you Tonka? No,
occasionally Tonks. Tonka. I accept most things.
Because also Tonka's from what's that? I can see his face now. Ricky Tomlinson, England. Mike Bassett. He's got a player called Tonka. Who's their version of Gaza? So you know,
Sounds good.
Mm. Gents, United 0, Chelsea 0 was the full-time score on Saturday. What a load of crap. I mean, so not boring. It was a bit boring, but it was the lack of intent shown by Ole's side that frustrated a lot of people. I think Chelsea came to play for the clean sheet. They've struggled to keep them. We've struggled to keep them as well. I think we've shipped more goals than them this season as well, obviously. That six against Spurs didn't do us any favours, but Chelsea turning up to Old Trafford, parking the bus, as they used to sing at us quite a bit. One shot on target from them, four from us. It wasn't the greatest of spectacles. Who wants to go first?
Well, it felt embarrassing to even watch it, didn't it? Never mind to play in it. Do you know what I mean? You just felt You felt that football was getting diminished in the process of watching that game. It was like both teams parking the bus for the first half, wasn't it? We got the Rashford shot on goal in the first. Was that late in the first half? The Rashford, which
yeah,
I thought he
might down the right.
Yeah, I thought he might have done a little bit better with actually, but it was a good save by the keeper. He narrowed the angle, but the first half was so drab, wasn't it? It was. Yeah. I haven't seen anything as dull as that for a long time.
It picked up a bit, didn't it, in the second half. I thought we improved. But I think it was one of those funny games where both teams, I think, were being very cautious about sort of not wanting to get
beaten. They both wanted a clean sheet, didn't they?
Yeah. And I think after, you know, with Chelsea having their new keeper in, I think they were mindful of, you know, not destroying his confidence.
Yes.
We got the team wrong. I just think Mata and James against a Chelsea team where they've got a lot of energy and running, it didn't feel right. It felt right against Newcastle. It sort of didn't feel quite right against them.
And I don't get James at all. I've just had his United quality. I think he's like Championship player, or he'd be nowhere near a decent United team.
Because of coaching? Tonka, is that because he hasn't been coached into, you know, a good quality player? Which is, to be honest, I think he's a good player. I think what I predicted last year is slowly coming true. That one, getting bashed about most games, which is what happens to him, will knock his confidence. And two, if someone doesn't go out there and say, look, let me practice dead balls with you, let me help you change as a player, let me help you evolve as a player, he'll struggle, and you know, this lack of a final ball is fucking killing him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he suits when we hit them on the break, he's not very good at breaking down a low block, is he? And that's what we struggle with, that plan B thing. Yeah. And it's almost something you can't, you know, those lovely little interchanges with Pogs and Martial and Rashford does little, you know, in and around the box. He just lacks the sophistication to do that. It's quite hard to coach, isn't it, those moments? Do you know what I mean? It comes through.
I think you either have it or you don't have it, and I don't think he's got it at all.
I would say one thing in mitigation to him is he came up against a very, very, very good player in his namesake.
We got the wrong James, definitely.
I tell you what, if all the players in their team, he would be the one I'd have, because I looked at his performance and I just thought, that's a guy that's going to be there for 10, 15 years, probably England as well. He is absolutely fantastic.
Well, at the end of the day, you look at Lamptey at Brighton. Chelsea let him go. Now they've got to be letting Lamptey go for a fucking reason if they're going to if they're going to have got someone else.
Yeah, I mean,
someone else has got to be special.
I think he was, you know, that it was almost men against boys, wasn't it? And I think
he's a beast in the tackle, isn't he? And he's got a decent final ball.
It's just his all round. Positional sense. He didn't look like a young player. He looked like someone who had, 100 Premier League games under his belt. I'll just say that in defence of James, I think he needs to be taken out of the firing line. I agree with you, Paul. I don't think he's quite United class. Whether he can be squad class, I think
I don't know what he gives because I know everyone talks about his pace, but it's not like we lack pace going forward, is it? We've got pace. Mason's fast. Rashford's got pace. I don't really know what he gives us, unless you're winning 2-0 with 10 minutes to go against a team who's not very good, and you just want to hit him on the break. Do you know? I don't quite know what he gives us. Not a fan.
We bought a raw player, boys. We bought a player who played Championship football, a hell of a lot of Championship football.
Yes.
And was going to come to the Premier League, turn up the pace, zoom past players, and then get two-footed. And you saw it week after week after week. In his first few months, he was getting absolutely fucking abused by players. Two-footed, left, right, up, down, you name it, he was there. He was always being fouled, Dan James. Now, until he can bulk up and change his game. Look at Adama Traore. You know what? Adama Traore is a great example. Played at Villa, got relegated. Played at Borough, got relegated.
Interesting.
I went to interview him last season, and he talked about that, and he said I needed to be coached by the right people. But when he was at Villa, the coach didn't want to coach him. It was Remy Gard, I think, they went down with. He wasn't interested in coaching Adama Traore. He went to Borough, and it was fucking Aitor Karanka, who was too busy trying to sort out a defence. Now he's gone to Wolves, and he's got someone in Nuno who will coach him to be a better player, who said to him, look, bulk up a bit, you've got speed. Bulk up a bit, become a bit more streetwise, and get your end product right, because his end product was shit before. This is a guy who come from the Barcelona Academy. Now, I'm not saying Dan James is Adama Traore, but if you can take the same principles and apply them within context to Dan James and go, mate, one, get on the weight, get yourself down the old myprotein.com, and two, learn how to cross the ball. Learn how to cross the ball properly. You've got yourself a good player. We can't write this player off. I disagree with everyone saying, get rid of him, this, that, the other. This is the problem we've had at United. Far too many times we've done this. Look at Memphis Depay. Barcelona are, desperate to get him in, and we wanted him out. The amount of players we turned out and got rid of, it's too much.
Depay was more of a mental thing. He didn't feel like he was in the right space, does he? You can't fault James's application. I just think I'd be surprised if he's contributing in 2 years' time. That's all I'll say. Ship him out
online. Do you want a ticking bet on that? Do you fancy taking me on that? Or do you fancy a little three wing bet?
You'll end up more chicken, you.
Three wings and a burger, maybe? Come on, let's do it. I'm on it, man. I'll take you on that.
I mean, but you look at the players we've got coming forward. It's quite emblematic of a problem that Ollie's got at the moment, isn't it? The transition between old squads, new squads. How do you put Telles in? Where do you put Van der Beek in? Where do you put these new exciting players? And for James to start, it just felt a little bit.
What about Luke Shaw starting? Talk to him about Luke Shaw starting, because he's taken some shit the past few days.
I think he's played better this season, and I quite like Luke Shaw. I don't think he's quite good enough, but I like him, and he looked great on the left of a three, didn't he, against PSG. But I don't know, he will face a problem how to keep him and Telles in the same team. And Telles' final ball is lovely, isn't it? And it's what we've been missing on that left-hand side.
We've actually got someone who can actually take corners now.
He can really whip it, can't he? And he's going to set up a lot of goals. So that's going to be... I think that's part of Ollie's problem at the moment. He's just I've got all these new players, and he's going to be tested, isn't he, with his man management skills and that kind of squad rotation.
Was Tellez injured? I didn't quite know why he wasn't in the squad.
Yeah. Is he injured? I didn't know. I didn't know what was he? I thought he was wrestling for Leipzig, but I don't know. I've got no idea.
Oh, right.
I mean, it'll be, you know, Luke Shaw. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of shit he was getting the other day. And I'll make this sort of the final point. But I think one of the most key things is, and I'm not going to pick up on the overlap thing when, I think it was Pogba was pointing to, or no, Bruno was pointing to him on the left saying, overlap, overlap, and he just stood and waited. I'm not going to point to that. I'm going to point to something, which is when Rashford picked up the ball in the second half, he cut down the left-hand side, in onto his right, went past one player, past another. He went all the way to the far side on the right. Yeah. No one's taken a shot, by the way. But yeah, everyone's waiting, and now the Chelsea box is becoming fucking full, like a Black Friday sale at Asda. Yeah, they then get it to the other flank and give it to fucking Luke Shaw. What does he do? He slams it against the defender for a corner. This is a man who's... Oh, what was that? Who's?
Oh, that was my phone. Sorry.
All right. This are you watching them Blueies again? This is a man
driver
who's got. He's. I think he's got 6 assists in 6 years.
Yeah.
Six assists.
He'll have sometimes efficient games. He looks quite tidy technically. But you're right. You know, when you compare, when you want a challenge, you compare, like, Liverpool, Robertson and Old Trent. There's just no competition. We're just nowhere near, are we, left back, right back? No. So, and it is a real problem in the team. He doesn't offer us enough, but it's weird because I always want to persist with players, ironically, after having a go at James, because I think Shaw, he seems to exist constantly in potential, doesn't he? Do you know, he's constantly existing in that zone of he's going to come good, but he'll be really challenged by Tellez, and it's something for Ole to manage. You know?
Yeah, I hope Ole kicks on and actually just sorts fucking...
Just going back to the Dan James thing, I'm exactly what Paul said was perfect, you know. But I think we've got to just like get him out on loan somewhere.
Yeah, loan's the answer. Yeah.
Where would you send him? Premier League, or are we looking top end championship?
Top end championship again. I think he probably left there too early. And, you know, I mean, it's typical United. They bring in that kid. He played like every game, didn't he, when he was first brought in? And of course, you know,
pressure on him wasn't a straight. Pressure
was on him, and it's like, you know, his confidence level, you can see, is shot.
Yeah.
And I still don't know why he persists for one half every time, Ollie, just bringing him on for that to happen. Because, like you say, he's, you know, he gets his head down and runs, and that's it. And just loses the ball.
Yeah. I don't know about anyone else. I'm quite interested to see how this Pellistri lad gets on and whether he gets a game and what happens. Let's take a pause though, gents. We'll come back. We'll find our finishing points for the Chelsea game. We'll look ahead to the game against RB Leipzig next on the Manchester United Redcast.
If you want an e-bike that doesn't look like it's made for the shopping precinct, something that's less Mr. Bean and more Steve McQueen, check out the range of bikes from London-based Cooler King. From dope 250-watt city bikes to Harley Bobber-inspired 750-watt beasts that can tear your face off while leaving your smile intact. Cooler Kings are made in limited numbers, yet highly affordable. Check them out now on the web at cooler.bike or find them on Instagram with hashtag CoolerKingBike. Cooler.bike. E-bikes that are cool AF.
Yeah, we are back with the Manchester United Redcast. My name's Aaron Paul. Joining me, Andrew, my brother, man, Dan Riley and Paul Tonka Tonkinson. He's back. He's bigger, badder than ever. He's our man over there. Gents, Cavani, first touch. I actually thought it was going to go in. When they were lining up that corner and then fired in, just all the way I'm just thinking, this is going in, this is going in. Really, so close.
Yeah, he's so direct and so there's something old-fashioned about him, isn't he? So sort of committed and cavalier up front. I think he's going to be... And then, of course, he had that moment where he got blocked off by old Thiago, which could have been good as well. He's an immediate threat, isn't he? He's going to challenge Martial, and I think he's going to score some big goals, hopefully in some big games. I really do.
Thiago was straight in there, man marking him out the game.
Yeah, he played well, Thiago, didn't he? I thought he might score with his first touch, but he was exactly what we'd be missing, wasn't it? Just direct intent and invention. It was lovely moment.
Anyone else want to pick up on anything else from the Chelsea game?
Nothing more to say. Well, I mean, Van der Beek, you know, and the I was surprised, you know, he didn't get a sniff. I mean, it felt to me like, you know, with sort of when we still had changes to be made, I just thought, you know, he could have added some dynamism. He'd done exactly that against Newcastle.
Yes.
And it just felt like it should be the second sub after Pogba. But
he's a guy who looks good in everything he does, doesn't he? When he's on the pitch,
I do find it strange. I don't know whether there's something about. There's something there that Ollie doesn't quite trust him. It just doesn't seem like we're not flying enough.
It's this transition thing, isn't it? It's
like for him not to be playing.
Yeah. He's decided that McTominay and Fred are the two to go for in the middle, which is great, but not particularly inventive. Pogba's suddenly become like an impact sub, and that may be post-corona reasons, but he's basically an impact sub. And it's sort of, I don't know, it's just...
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that his starting lineup. And the fact he had Cavani on the bench, almost from the beginning, made you think Van der Beek might not get on here in the way that you can see Ollie's subs happening.
Yeah,
but it felt to me like because they were so defensive, it felt to me that one of Fred or McTominay should have gone, and Van der Beek should have gone on, and we should have pushed it a bit.
That's what I thought. I mean, we've got to give props in passing to the defence, to like Maguire and Lindelof, who did look really solid. Chelsea have been looking dangerous. They've been looking weak defensively, but going forward, they have been looking dangerous. And we totally nullified that, really. I mean, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I thought Maguire was very good. And Lindelof, who I have given no end of stick to, he actually played well as well. So he'll probably have a shocker against Leipzig then.
More than I think Axel's got to come back for Leipzig.
Everyone wants Axel to come back, don't they? I mean, it looks like rereading is probably going to start with the same formation against PSG against Leipzig, and that seems to be something that suits us, doesn't it? It looked really super solid against PSG, but that Leipzig won't be as open against us as PSG were. They were wide open, weren't they? They fell into it, didn't they?
That's exactly what we think. Yeah, looking ahead to the game tomorrow, RB Leipzig, the visitors to OT. Julian Nagelsmann's a manager who's probably been, like, you know, loved up by the press. They lost Timo Werner, of course. Still got some half-decent, you know, numbers in there. Alexander Sorloth, ex-Palace strikers in there. And, of course, the man that we want, Upamecano. Like, I'm desperate for him. I'm interested to see how he gets on against Rashford, Cavani, etc. chaps.
Yeah. So it's one of those, you know, Ollie's sort of managing his players, he's rotating them for the season, and this is going to be a real test, isn't it? Chelsea... A 0-0 against Chelsea looks fine if we have a good game against Leipzig. Do you know what I mean? And if we don't, then it suddenly looks even more wasteful. Do you know what I'm saying? It's sort of, he's got this big squad. They've spent a bit. They've got options, and it's how he chooses to use them. It's going to be a real test. Yeah, it's going to be a good old game, and it'll be probably fairly tight, won't it?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be. Very, very interesting to see how. What happens with that? In terms of actually, one of our listeners tweeted us about a European Super League. Obviously, a lot of shit flying around that United are leading the way with Liverpool. I think this is one I can actually give Ed Woodward a bit of a pardon on, because it's fucking Glazer. It's Glazer and his mate John W. Henry, the Americans trying to bastardise our league.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those things that I just can't see happening, can you? It's like we've talked about the European Super League's been talked about for years and years and years. And the reality is it get pretty boring pretty quickly for a lot of fans. And it sounds really sort of futuristic and possible, but I just cannot see it happening.
No, I think it's completely wrong, mate. It's completely wrong. It'll just fuck up the league. And if it does happen, then, well, you lot have to take over this
podcast
fucking Wimbledon.
You have to wonder whether it's sort of a kind of bit of saber-rattling from the big clubs in terms of the negotiations for the next Champions League. Because are they not? Is that not being sort of... is the format of that not being discussed imminently, and just sort of a bit of a shot across the bows, if you like, to UEFA from the big clubs to say, you know, make sure you keep us in this competition every year, which, you know, essentially by having so many spots, they do, don't they?
Yeah. It sounded a bit political. It didn't sound too serious. I mean, it's obviously a terrible idea. I mean, it's terrible. and you look at the start of this season, and it tells you why. I mean, who knows how the season's going to calm down? But the possibility of Villa being up there near the end, of Leicester challenging, of, you know, that's what makes the Premier League exciting, isn't it? That West Ham get a draw with City, and they could have beaten them, etc. You don't want to lose that, do you? I think we'd be massively diminished. I don't think the game would suffer. I agree.
And I think, you know, as it is at the moment, even the Champions League, you can't see. You know, there's a handful of teams you think can win it, and to diminish that even further, would even nullify, you know, any of the excitement we get from that competition. And ironically, last season, because of the lockdown, where they had to have the one-legged game, you know, in the sort of the bubble, that actually provided the best tournament. You know, in the last sort of probably 10, 15 years, you know, in terms of matches, excitement. Yeah. So, yeah, I think I agree with you, Paul. I don't think it's going to happen.
It was interesting when Ollie mentioned the fans, wasn't it, after the game against Chelsea, and how it's less, and it suddenly makes you. It's so. And I found myself watching. Sorry, I'm veering off a little bit, but I found myself watching the 1987 Cup Final on ITV4 the other night, Coventry Spurs, and you just forget. Well, you don't forget, but it's nice to be reminded of how integral the fans are to the experience, how fans change games, how it's a relationship between fans and players, and you just wonder what effect that's having on the players themselves, whether it's making them more tired. I'm wondering why games are getting tightening up a little bit now.
I think it's nullified home and away, hasn't it? I mean, it's just, it doesn't, you look at a game and you don't look anymore as if, oh, we're at home. I sort of tend to sort of not see that. And I think that's probably, and also the fact that I think for bigger teams, I think the fans, you know, look at Arsenal, the way fans would often get on their back. And the fact there's no one to get on their backs, I think that's why it's kind of leveled it out a bit. Because I think that I think also there is an element of the middle ranked teams in the Premier League because everyone is so rich, you know, so much richer than most of the clubs in Spain, wherever, so they can have the pick, you know, of those emerging good solid players. You know, there's a lot of good. I mean, you look at Villa now and you think, geez, they're not a bad team.
They look good. Yeah.
You know, this is a team that last season were flirting with relegation.
But that's what I'm saying. But it comes down to ambition in the transfer window. And unfortunately for our club, us and Fulham are the two teams in the league who've shown fuck all ambition. Villa went out and decided, yeah, we can't get in that position again, you know, this season, next season, call it whatever you want. So we're not going to, you know, we're going to go and recruit. They've got four senior keepers on their books. They still want to bought fucking Martinez for 17 mil, 18 mil, whatever it was, you know. There's so many clubs out there. who've actually thought, yeah, we'll go and spend some money. Look at Newcastle. Their owner hates them, and he still went and got Callum Wilson. He still went and got Ryan Fraser. They still went and got good players. You know, we're the only team that show no real ambition to go, yes, who's the best in our class? Let's go and get him.
Yeah, it's, you're bringing us back to, to the manager here. I don't know how long we've got left, and I know it's a huge decision to a huge discussion. But I've never thought he's good enough or going to be good enough. And, I mean, good luck to him, club legend, nice guy, etc. I still find it amazing that he got the job. And he hasn't really done much since he's had the job to make me think differently. With all the money we've spent, I just can't see him winning trophies. I apologise for my negativity. I want to be more positive, but he just doesn't. I don't know. I don't know. Just when it losing the semi-finals last season, and he did really well after the restart. But the team just looks still quite fractured and transitional, and don't know our best 11. The Pogba scenario is still drifting on.
I mean, we've got a good opportunity this week. We've got Arsenal Sunday, 4:30 kickoff Sunday. Great opportunity.
I think we beat Arsenal. I'd hope we beat Arsenal, and I think we will. It's sort of teams make games, don't they? Styles make games. I think I'd hope we beat Arsenal, but the Chelsea game I found disappointing. I mean, obviously, I found it weird the way it was taken as read that we'd have a poor start to the season because of the summer we had and pre-season. It all felt a bit the way Bruno was told he was captain, sort of live on air. It just feels a bit small club to me. It doesn't feel. I don't know. It just felt a bit. It felt a bit odd. I don't know. It felt a bit bizarre.
I think Jermaine Gina hit it on the head about Ollie though. He was saying, you know, I mean, and I can see it, and I'm sure you guys can see it, that they've got a manager in now who's a yes man, really. And he looks like he's scared to death anyway of everyone that's there, and you know he's still calling Rashford, you know, Rashy. It's he's a mate, you know.
Yeah, and he's weird. I want him madly to succeed. I loved him as a player, and I just there's no way a manager with his record would have got near the club years ago, and I still find it quite absurd that he did. Yeah. Great run results to get him. The players loved him, etc. But it's just a bit. It felt a bit small. Yeah. I really hope I'm wrong. I'm wrong about so many things in life. I hope I'm wrong about this. You know,
gents, we've got 2 minutes left on our pod. Let's have some Predos. United taking on RB Leipzig for our second home game in a week. I think it is at OT. Chaps, let's have your predictions.
I'm going to go 2-1 United.
No, I'm
going to go for a 3-2 United with Cavani to get the winner.
Nice. I'm going to go 2-1 defeat because we just seem to play shit at Old Trafford.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, the home thing's not serving us at all, is it?
I just think that it'll be a close game, but I can see them nicking it.
I'm hoping I'm going for a 3-1 Cavani to score. Maybe not to win it, but Cavani to score. And then Arsenal, Sunday afternoon, live on Sky. It's a 4:30 kickoff. How's that going to go?
I'm going to go... it's away, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not that it matters, but if anything, we have been playing a little bit better away, haven't we? I'm going to go...
It's Old Trafford.
Is it Old Trafford, is it?
Yeah. You're like, oh shit.
I'm gonna go. I was gonna say 2-0 if it's away, but if it's at home, I'm gonna go for 1-1. For no reason. I've just had a vision.
Anyone else?
I'm gonna go 1-1 as well on that, Paul.
I can see that being another draw. They're good going forward, Arsenal. And yeah,
they weren't the other night. Let me tell you that. I'm going 2-0 United because I never, ever back the opposition against my own. Thank you very much, gents. We're running out of time. That's United Redcast for this week. Thanks to Paul Tomkinson. Thanks to Dan Riley. And thank you, Andrew Mann, for joining me this week on the Manchester United Redcast. Two big games ahead this week. Reds, Leipzig at home and Arsenal home as well. Let's hope I'm back in for a couple of wins for our boys. You know me. I'll always give it that. Until next week, though, come on, you Reds.
Wasn't that a great podcast? Now, if you've got 90 seconds spare in your day, come and listen to ours. It's called What Has He Said Now? And is available wherever you got this podcast.
You're going to lose a number of people to the flu.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at unitedredcast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.